Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Somewhere around 3,000 years ago, a woman lived in a small house built into the wall of the city of Jericho. This woman was named Rahab, and she was a Canaanite woman. A Canaanite was someone who lived in the land of Canaan, which was promised to Abraham. And it was the land that was about to be invaded by a swarm of Israelites. They had camped out on the eastern side of the Jordan River and sent spies into the land to see what sort of things they would have to face. And they went to the walled city of Jericho. Jericho, the great city, Jericho never conquered, Jericho with its big scary walls. And they went inside. And inside they went to a place where the famous woman Rahab lived. And they spoke with her, and they hid from the guards. And the story continued. You may be wondering, why Rahab? What's so special about her? Why should we even bother talking about this woman who was a Canaanite woman and not even an Israelite? She was an outsider, someone who didn't belong. In fact, she belonged to be destroyed like all of the Canaanites. And yet her story lives on. And her household remained with Israel. Why? What's the deal here? What's special about Rahab? Well, let's begin by saying, I mentioned she was famous. She was indeed famous and was mentioned in the writings of the people of the nation Akkad, which was nearby. In the Akkadian text, they mention Rahab in Jericho. Long before Israel ever shows up, Rahab is famous and her house is famous. And the Bible says that Rahab was a prostitute or a harlot. That's the word in Hebrew. And she may have actually engaged in that profession. But scholars aren't certain about that. In fact, scholars tend to disagree whether or not she was indeed a woman of ill repute. You see, Rahab was a female head of household in the ancient Near East. Women weren't supposed to be in charge. Women were supposed to be property. They weren't supposed to be the leaders of a household. They weren't supposed to be business people. And so they may not have even had a word to describe a female business person beyond harlot or prostitute. Yeah, I'd laugh about that too, Donna. It was so unheard of, they didn't know what to call her. And so this house that she was in charge of, where her family probably lived, probably was more of a hostel than a brothel. So go some of the scholars. Regardless of whether or not she was a woman of ill repute, she was definitely a smart woman. She was well-read and up on the times, as it were. She knew what God's people had done in Egypt, what God had done in Egypt, as much as 100 years before this encounter. Now, I know the Bible has a different timeline here. But depending on the timelines you look at, it may be as much as 50 years, it may be as much as 100. She had heard about what they had done as they wandered through the wilderness and encountered different peoples coming up along the east side of the River Jordan. And how anyone who stood against them was utterly destroyed. And she knew that's what was going to happen in Jericho when those Israelite spies showed up. Chances are they went to her house because her house is where all the merchants would go and where all the news would be exchanged. So if anyone wants to find out what's going on, they go to where the people are going, especially other travelers. And while in Rahab's house, the Israelites heard about what was going on, and they heard how afraid everyone was of them and their God. Rahab the cunning businesswoman. Regardless of what her profession was, regardless of what her house was, or who was in her household, Rahab understood that God was doing something in Israel and through Israel. And when the guards from the king showed up at her house, she became a traitor to her own city. She chose which side she would be on, and she chose God's side over and against the side of her city. Rahab is an amazing woman whose story baffles and astounds me every time I read it. Because here's this woman who is outside of Israel. Okay? We get this. She's an outsider. She's the person who didn't go to church on Sunday morning. She's the person who's openly hostile to even seeing a cross or even talking about Jesus. And yet, when 007 and Q show up at her house, she knows what's going on, and she hides them on the roof. Can you imagine the movie that could be made of this short story? Or even the whole book of Joshua, and this would just be one scene in it. The spies are up there underneath the flax, which is basically hay. And their hearts are thumping. They hear the guards next door, and they're knocking on all the doors, going through. And they come to Rahab's house. And they knock. And Rahab goes to the door. And they hear the guards say, "We know two men came here to visit you. They are Israelite spies, and we have been sent to capture and kill them. Hand them over to us." And then there's that brief pause for emphasis. And in that pause, Rahab is choosing. Rahab is choosing the kingdom of God over and against the fallen kingdom of Babylon. Rahab is choosing Yahweh over the God of Jericho, who is probably their king. She is choosing these other people who have a different way of living and talking and looking over against everything she's known and been comfortable with her whole life. She becomes a traitor to her people and goes over to God's side. And she says, "I don't know who you're talking about. There were two men here, but they left before the city gate closed. And if you hurry, you might be able to catch them. I think they're on their way to the river now." And as soon as that door closes and the steps going up the ladder to the roof, the two men see Rahab, and she turns to them and says, "I know your God has turned over the land to your people. I know that your God is the only real God and the most powerful God that there ever could be. Can I be on your side? Will you be loyal to me? Will you be faithful to me as I was just now faithful to you? Will you save me and my household?" This story is amazing and beautiful, and the sign that show that she will leave for the people, these spies, that she was faithful to them, is a red cord hanging from a window. Now, you may not remember this, but the Israelites definitely would know a red thing on a door is a symbol for Passover. "Will the angel of death pass over me too and welcome me into the kingdom of Israel when I hang a red thing on my doorpost or my window?" And then the Israelite spies go out, and she says, "Go to the hills. The guards are going to the river. Wait a couple of days until they come back, and then you can go and it'll be safe." And they follow her directions. They go and they come back, and they are safe. This is the second chapter in the book of Joshua. Why is this story here? Why does it doesn't even make sense that it's here. Why would Joshua talk about spies sparing a woman of Canaan who was supposed to be destroyed and is supposed to represent all the things wrong with the land that they're coming to conquer. And I think it all boils down to, choose this day whom you will serve. Which is the question that Joshua asks the people of Israel. It's the question the angel asks Joshua. Choose this day whom you will serve. You will either serve Yahweh or you will serve everything and everyone else. This story is in here because Rahab chose Yahweh. She chose the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even though she was not of their kin. And because of that choice, she became kin. Her tribe lived in Israel until the exile, and her tribe beget some very important people. You may know the name of King David, the guy that slew Goliath. His great-great-grandmother was Rahab. And if she was his great-great-grandmother, that means she's also one of the ancestors of Jesus. Rahab, an outsider, a Canaanite woman, a businesswoman, no less, is a part of Jesus' story because she chose to be a part of God's story over and against the story of Jericho. This woman is amazing. And this story, like I said, it doesn't make sense. Because when you read the chapters between 2 and 6, and you read how Israel conquered Jericho, they marched around the wall. You probably sang songs about it in Sunday school when you were a kid. And the walls came a-tumbling down, right? Yeah! There's no mention of Rahab. There's no mention of a red cord in a window until after the walls are down, the city is conquered, and Joshua says, "Bring this woman to me." And her whole household. What? Because it's not about the conquering of Jericho. It's about what happens in the kingdom of God when people choose to align themselves with God. It is about Israel being who Israel was always meant to be. A kingdom of priests whose intent was to be a blessing to all nations, not just the children of Abraham. This story is a story about choice. A story of a choice of someone outside the community of Israel that chose to be a part of Israel. And it's the choice that you and I make every day when we wake up, isn't it? It's the choice, will we be a child of God, which is what that we are called and said, and will we live in the kingdom of God according to its patterns and its laws and its ways of being in relationship with each other? Or will we do what we want to, when we want to, how we want to? And it may not be a choice we make once a day, it's probably a choice we make every day, thousands and thousands of times every day. And sometimes we choose fallen Babylon over and against New Jerusalem. We choose to be on our own rather than with God. But, just like Rahab, most of us, for most of our lives, the trajectory will be towards God and towards relationship with God. Most of us make the choice to be with God. Because we know that that choice leads to life, right? That choice leads to life, not just now, but going on ad infinitum. Forever and ever. Being with God where God is. No longer in exile, no longer separate from God, no longer destined for destruction. Like Jericho. Why? Because we know what God has done. We know how God passed over the Israelites on that first Passover evening as they were being delivered from slavery to Egypt. We know what God has done in establishing His kingdom on earth in Israel. And we know how Israel didn't do very well with that. We know how God came and dwelt among us to reconcile us. To take us from exile into God's presence in a way that we've never experienced before. And we know that God's love triumphs over all things. And so we continue to choose God. We continue to choose to be in God's kingdom, to live as God's children together. And that story defines who we are, and that story defines our legacy as human beings who dwell on earth. Just as that story defined Rahab. Not her profession, not her location, not where she lived, not whose friends she was with, not who she was friends with. Rahab's life was defined by the choice she made to choose Israel. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you will choose God every day and grow in your relationship with Him, that your story may live on in your children and grandchildren, whether they be of blood or spirit, so that a King David may rise from your faithfulness. Amen.